Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Fear of God, with the lesson titled, Fear of God, Sin and Evil, Part 3. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
We welcome everyone here today in the house of the Lord, represented here beside a little road to Taylorsville, North Carolina. And I hope that people can look this way, going up and down the road, and said, I don't know who that is, but I heard that God was in that place. Could we start the rumor? I would love that to be the rumor of New Life Church. We do welcome you here today, and those that are watching online, we're so glad you're with us. For those of y'all that were here today to hear Steve, he is under the weather. He was going to be speaking today, and I talked to him Friday, and he was kind of a strep throat, and said, how are you looking for Sunday? He said, I think I'm looking pretty good. I said, well, good. And he called me Saturday and said, well, I'm not looking too good. So we exhausted several other speakers, and I guess y'all have been real bad, so you got me. And I found out yesterday about 12, 1 o'clock I was going to be speaking. So I, as a preacher and a teacher, the Lord tells you to be ready at all times. And so I do usually have something I'm working on, several messages or teachings. And had I known, I would have prepared more of a Christmas message. This is not going to be a Christmas message. I hope you can. But I have to be persuaded that God knew what I had, and so I have to be persuaded that it's okay for me to bring this message that I bring to you this morning. It's a continuation on the Fear of God series that I started a few weeks ago. And this time of year in the Christmas season, the reason Jesus came to this earth is because there was some evil he needed to take care of. And by his birth and his life and his death and burial and resurrection, he took care of that evil. Amen. And he's asking us to join him in this process. So we'll pick up again here on this series that I was teaching on the fear of God. And we'll be speaking about where I left you last time was this idea of sin, evil. And we can't close our eyes to the evil that's happening in the world, because it's a real phenomena of evil. And not only is it a real phenomena, but it's also something we need to really be careful that we're not partaking in, if you will, or that we're not enhancing. I don't want to enhance evil. We want to be a part of that brings a balance to the earth. So as I begin this series, this third installment on this study of the fear of God, I see that I've got a full hour, unless I let you out early. We'll see if your prayers can pull heaven or not here. So in this fear of God here, I'll try not to hold us too long as this message is actually not, it's not that long of a teaching on this this morning. But in this verse here in 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. So this is our verse here that we're going to launch our thinking off of here this morning. It's 1 Thessalonians, and it is, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil. Now that verse is one that it would do us all well to memorize in this day that we're living in, because we're encountering a lot of evil, we're seeing a lot of evil. But we don't want to repay evil for evil. And I know that I've been in, I'm not getting into all of that, but we want to take note of that. But always seek to do what? To do good to one another and to who? Everyone. Does that include the evil people? Everyone is everyone. So keep that in mind. It's not a suggestion in the Word of God. It is a secret of the kingdom. It is a secret on how we live our lives and how we motivate in an evil world, is what this verse is helping us with. Now I want us to look at this other quote here in Scriptures. It's in Romans 12 and verse 17 through 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. There it is again. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. So we can, you know, in this socially evil world that we find ourselves, we can think, as Christians, we can think that evil has overtaken the world. We can believe that and think that. Or we can look at it and say, we've never had a better opportunity to experience good upon the earth. The more evil there is, the more opportunity for good that we have. Now, whether you know it or not, this evil is the world in which we evangelize. And for some reason, we want to blow it up instead of save it up. And so as Christians, we're somewhat taking on some of the mentality that it's okay to do evil against evil. And I'm here to report to you, as the Word of God says, no, how do we come against evil? We come against evil with good. Now, if you'll notice, God reserves the right in the Scripture for vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So that takes it out of my hands and your hands. It's off limits. Vengeance is off limits for us if we are going to be in obedience with the Word of God. Now, I know it's not, the more evil the world gets, the more vigilante I get a feeling. I have one problem. I know a little bit of Bible, and that little bit of Bible will haunt me. And so I realize that how do I overcome evil? It's with good. Now, it's with this in mind, and this is the third in the part of this series. I thought about maybe showing a slide of a Christmas tree every now and then just to try to make it about Christmas. But you can see I'm going to be hard-pressed to do that. So if you would, just kind of go with me on this one. All right, here we go quickly. Once upon a time, there was a farmer. I like to do farmer stories. Whose horse ran away. All the neighbors came around that evening and said, "That's too bad." And the farmer said, "Maybe." The next day, the horse came back and brought 7 wild horses with it. And all the neighbors came around and said, "That's great, isn't it?" And the farmer said, "Maybe." The next day, his son, who was attempting to tame one of these horses, was riding it and was thrown and broke his leg. And all of the neighbors again came around and in the evening and said, "Well, that's too bad, isn't it?" The farmer said, "Maybe." The next day, the army recruiting officers came around looking for people for the army. They rejected his son because he had a broken leg, and all the neighbors came around that evening and said, "Well, isn't it wonderful?" And the farmer said, "Maybe." The moral of the story is be careful labeling something good or bad, for God could be working on your behalf. Amen? We see in this little story that one event beget another event, beget another event, beget another event. And the old farmer didn't pass judgment. He just knew that it was leading to something. And so God's not called us necessarily to label something good and bad, or I'm going to use a comparison here of good and bad and good and evil. And as I do some of my teachings, as is this teaching today, you'll notice I'll be using simplistic words, but I'm trying to convey a complicated meaning. You have to catch it. You're not really taught it, you kind of catch it. Now, when you teach sometimes like I teach like this, you open yourself up for great criticism. Okay, I understand that. But try to hear what I am saying and not what I'm not saying. And it'll help you with your criticism. Because I criticize myself. That's probably enough. Here we go. There is a difference between good and bad and good and evil. Now, in this farmer story, we had some bad events. He broke his leg. Horses ran away. We had some bad events, not evil events, but bad events. So in life, we all do see that we have some bad events. But we do also know for some reason God can work all that stuff out for good. Now, I don't know how. So when we see something that's bad, we get all depressed, bent out of shape. If your neighbor comes up to you and says, "Well, that's bad, isn't it?" Just say, it's okay to plagiarize this little story and say, "Yeah, maybe." I don't know. It reminds me of a little short I saw on my phone several months ago, and I watched it till I got tired of it. It's this little boy, and he came home from school, about that tall, little blonde head, long hair, and he said to his dad, he said, "Don't mess with me today. I've had a bad day at school. I'm tired and I'm cranky. I just want everybody to leave me alone." His daddy said, "Well, does that mean we're not going to wrestle tonight?" The little boy thought. He said, well, maybe. He was tired and cranky, but he knew we better have a maybe. And that's just the cutest. I don't know if anybody else has seen that little clip. If you have, sort of raise your hand. I see I got some more rednecks in here, not many. I want us to understand that when we're judging what we're seeing, it's okay to have a maybe, because we're not necessarily always sure what God's up to. Now, we're going to move into some things. It's not good or bad, but it's good and evil. And I want you to be able to distinguish between good and bad and good and evil. Well, let's move on here quickly. We can be good and have some bad things happen, as we all well know. We can do good and combat the forces of evil. So the one right above it says we can be good and have some bad things happen. But we can do good and combat the forces of evil. So if something or somebody does something against you, it's what you do back that combats the forces of evil. And we must understand our response to evil is spiritual warfare. That's the height of spiritual warfare. Just as bad and evil are not the same thing, so are sin and evil are not the same thing. And I'm going to move into this topic that I did do with you, a couple slides I did last time, but it's so we can move on to this little more and a greater understanding here. Sin and evil, they are not the same. Now, sin is not always evil, but evil is always sin. Do you see that? It just so happens we tend to say that all sin's evil. But I want you to start making a distinction between evil and sin. And yes, this is the same thing I have already taught some of you. It's if you've been here a couple weeks ago. But it's leading into the same thing, but we're heading in a different direction. But I have to bring us all back up to speed again. Sin is not always evil, but evil is always sin. Now, the Greek word for sin here is never used for the word evil. The Greek word for sin in the Bible is hamartia. There it is. This means missing the mark. So sin in the Bible, most of the times when we miss the mark, we fail, we fall short. Some say that's what sin is. One definition I have for sin is disagreeing with God. And that's kind of a dumb move, wouldn't you say? In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul uses hamartia to describe sin as a force of fallen man that compels. Now here we see the term compel. We see that there's a little bit of a force behind it. You see that? That's a little bit of a spiritual force we're going to pick up on here. Sin is saying something you should not say or doing something as you should not do. The result is sin tends to hurt you. Now, the context here, and then don't go south on me here, is that sin, basically, when we sin, we basically hurt ourselves. When we do evil, how can you know that you're doing evil? It's because you want to hurt someone else. Sin basically hurts you. But when sin goes evil, it starts into this other performance of wanting to hurt others. Has anybody in here ever wanted to respond to somebody and cause them harm? Well, I'm glad we have no sinners in the building. That's nice. I wouldn't admit it either. I had one man this past week came up, met me, and we had a conversation. And I probably talked to him four or five times in my life. So he said, I don't want to talk to you. I said, okay. And so he came and I said, hey, you know, I was having breakfast. He said, I don't want to talk to you. I said, well, good. What do you want to talk about? I want to burn a man's house down. I thought, well, that's a good place to start, isn't it? And I said, well, maybe we need to talk a little bit. And so I started, do I think he really would have? I don't think he would have. Is he capable? Yeah, you better believe he was capable. But he was reaching out to me. He was just very frustrated with an individual. And I said, well, I'm glad we're talking. So I gave him the teaching on good and evil. Then I gave him the teaching on sin and evil. I said, now you're letting your sin turn into thoughts of evil. He said, what? I'm not evil. I'm not an evil man. I said, yeah, you are. You're having thoughts. You want to hurt this man. I said, I'm not going to ask you if he was still inside when you set it on fire. We're not going there. I said, if you want to hurt somebody, according to Scripture, that is an evil act. That's how you distinguish it. If it's sin, usually harms me. If I take my sin and then harm you, then that turns it into evil. Nowhere is a Christian ever supposed to want to hurt anybody, lost or saved, sinner or not. Are you with me? We're not given that permission. God says vengeance is His. He's issued us as a people to extend His grace to the earth. That's who we are. We're the agents of God's mercy and grace. Now, I'm not saying we always walk in it. But still, that is what we're called to do and we're called to be. So, let's move on. The Greek word for evil is not the same as for sin. There are multiple Greek words in the Bible translated to evil, wicked, and they imply to bring injury or harm to someone. This is very important to see. There's the Greek word. This word appears in the Gospel of Matthew and has a negative connotation. It comes from the root concept of being oppressed. Caucus is another word. It appears in the Bible 51 times and has multiple meanings, including bad nature, wrong or wicked, and causing harm. That's what the word means. Now, that can be physical harm. We tend to cause... It's also, and I'll give you a few examples here in just a moment, of how that can also be with our words. Matter of fact, your tongue is one of the most wicked things according to this book. So, you know, it can come out of it cursings and blessings, right? Now, to sin against yourself or to bring harm to others. The word sin means to miss the mark, but evil means you are missing the mark with intent to harm someone or to harm others. Fear, greed, lust, anger, disobedience, doubt, impure thoughts, hatred. These actions are sin, but they're not yet evil, but can lead us into evil. Do you see that? Now, I'm going to show you in the scripture, and I'm just going to hurry through it because the time goes quickly. But I'm going to show you in the scripture how there's an interval between sin and going evil. You ever heard of somebody going postal? You ever heard that term? There's an interval between sin and going postal. There's just a little interval right there. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll make a confession here. Of course, as I'm getting to be an old man, that's not true. I'm just as quick on the trigger as I ever was. I just can't do nothing about it. But what happens is there's usually an interval. I always tell myself if somebody says something, kind of gets under my skin, I just say, give me 3 seconds and I'll be fine. If I got 3 seconds, I can handle it. If you catch me off guard and I respond, it ain't going to be good. Because I need just a few seconds to process it. Well, I've learned that in my life. And it used to be somebody would say something, make me angry, and I was gone. You know, I just like a firecracker, you know. But it doesn't take too many whippings till you get over that. I'll let you figure that one out. Now, the goal of the evil one is for our sin to progress to a point of hurting others. That's the goal. Satan's greatest work is when we join and help him. Now, as you can see in our political situation that we have today, the elections could have went your way or not went your way. Nonetheless, they are what they are. We got Trump as president. Now, I believe we've got a wonderful opportunity. It would have been the same no matter which way it went, but it's a wonderful opportunity right now for the church to do a lot of good. Now, you can say what you want to, but I am a type person that is praised all the time that none of us get what we deserve. I don't know if anybody joins me in that, but my prayer is we don't get what we deserve. My prayer is the other side in this election doesn't get what they deserve. You can say, well, Alan, some people need what they deserve. Well, the vengeance part I'm going to leave up to God. I'm going to ask for grace and mercy. Because I believe there's been a lot of evil done, and if good is extended, I believe it'll put out the evil. Now, you can disagree with me, and that's fine. You say, well, Alan, I think some people need to be put in jail and burned. Well, you go ahead and think that. There's part of me does too, but I'm not embracing it. I'm going to embrace the Word of God. The way we overcome evil is with good. Now, when does sin turn into evil? You sin when you look at pornography, but when you work for the company that produces it, the pornography, then it's evil. In other words, if you look at pornography, we know that that's sin. But if you work for the company that produces, then that's considered evil because you're hurting others. Why? Because it causes injury to someone else. You have joined a union with others to harm someone. Sin is something an individual does wrong, and evil is being part of a system of sin, premeditation, which causes destruction. So therefore, why am I so against abortion? It's because it's a group, it's a union that comes together, premeditated, to do harm to someone. That makes sense? That's according to the Word of God. A lot of people say, well, Alan, where does it say that you're not to do that? Well, you have to understand the difference in sin. You need to understand what evil is. Evil means you do harm to someone. That's what that is. And God holds that, he holds that in reserve unto himself. I've had people say, well, God did this and that. I get it, but that's God's deal. It's not mine. God reserves that. This is where we get the idea of a conspiracy. When you enter an alliance and the purpose of that alliance is to injure others, then that becomes what we call evil. Second Timothy says, but evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's the reason if politically, or for a church, or any organization, if your platform embraces evil deeds, I can't embrace that. I can. You have to make a distinction in what we embrace and what we do not embrace. Now, I'm going to go over some, we're taking a different turn here now from where I was when I taught this last time. When sin turns to evil, I'm going to have to move quickly because my time's already getting away from me. Y'all know the story of David and of Absalom, I'm sure. So we're going to look now, when does sin turn into evil? I think that's a question that needs to be answered. 2 Samuel, but in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. That must have been a good-looking dude. It wouldn't have made no difference to me. But the Bible here says he had beauty. Now, I want you to look at number one. Let's look at this. A lot of times beauty is used by people to allure you into evil. So beauty is something that can be used, and we see in the scriptures here that it was used to allure people. We know Absalom was coming against his father, David. He was a good-looking guy, and it just so happens he was very charismatic in personality, and he had the ability to draw people unto himself. The quality in a person that catches your eye can be beauty. It doesn't necessarily have to be physical beauty. It's a quality in someone that catches your eye. You can be allured by that charismatic personality or whatever it is into their problem. It can be a charismatic personality. Now let's look quickly here. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem. You see that? And saw not the king's face. So we're leaving out a lot of the story. But what happened is Absalom, you remember his brother Anan, I think it was. It's his brother, which raped his sister, their sister Absalom. And so what happened was Absalom called him out into battle and all that. Anyway, he had him killed. He had his brother killed because he raped his sister. Well, David, of course, that was bad, but his punishment was he could not come before the king for 2 years, and he didn't. But we see here that he couldn't go before his father for 2 years. Now, I'm trying to make a point here. Absalom had killed his brother Ammon for raping his sister Tamar, so David had forbidden Absalom from seeing him for these 2 years. Now, here's where Absalom's sin turned into something that was evil. He killed someone, right? And David had to do something as recompense for him killing his brother. Probably pretty light, but nonetheless, he thought he would be herald for it. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray, let me go and pay now my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. So look at it, 40 years. 40 years later, most people don't know that, but it was 40 years later that Absalom started coming against David, his father. Well, technically, it's 42 years. It's 40 plus 2. But here's the point I want you to see. 42 years later, Absalom started rebelling against his father. He harbored a hurt feeling for 42 years. Now, what created, the title is this, when does sin turn into evil? It's when we harbor something in our hearts for a long time. Now, if you're sitting in here today and you have something in your heart against somebody and you're storing it for a long time, don't think it'll stay hidden. It'll turn evil on you unless you get it right with God. Well, you can say, but Alan, they did it on purpose. Well, the Bible says forgive them on purpose. That's right. Because it will harm you. It'll not only hurt you, but then it'll hurt others. This happens a lot of times in families. Robert was talking about families this morning. This happens a lot of times in families and at Thanksgiving. They're harboring things in their heart against each other, and it's just not good. Number two, do not let hard feelings go without reconciliation. Now, how does sin turn into evil? I'm giving you an example. Right there it is, and it can be bad. This type of evil in Absalom's heart turned into a lifetime task. Could you imagine carrying that for 42 years, that amount of anger? I've had seen people and known people that had something in their heart against somebody for years. Totally changes the personality. Why? Because it's turning evil. Now, when something turns evil, it has a demonic presence attached. Can you hear me? That's what makes it turn evil. Like when I was talking to that guy, I said, well, you're fellowshipping with demons. He said, what? I'm not doing it. I said, yeah, you are. You're wanting to hurt somebody else. That means you're fellowshipping with demons. That's what that means. Treason, it's evil. It's evil because you want to hurt somebody, but it's evil because you've got the influence of the dark side. You didn't come up with the idea to hurt somebody. The dark side does, and you say yes and amen to it. Isn't this a great Christmas message? Your internal conversation says, I will get him if it is the last thing I ever do. You can talk to a lot of people in 42 years. I imagine Absalom really made the rounds in Jerusalem and all Judea and around the lands for 42 years, running your mouth about your daddy. But Absalom got a great following. He was a good-looking guy, very charismatic. And he got this following to follow him. Number four, you may have one-on-one conversation with people to sway them your way. That's what happens when sin turns evil. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. In other words, Absalom sat outside the gate in Jerusalem, and as people were coming into Jerusalem, he'd sit there and he'd greet them. He's the greeter. And he'd talk to them. Well, I'm going to see King David. I've got this problem. Well, come over here. I'm his son. I can take care of all the problems. And it just so happens that Absalom would just bless everybody and send them on their way. But he gained a following that way. And that's what happens when sin starts turning into evil. It is usually against someone that has given a lot into your life. Now it's going to get touchy-feely. It's a lot of times when something turns evil, it's against someone that's done a lot and given you a lot in your life. All of a sudden you turn bad on them. You turn mad. And so when that happens, it's turned evil. Now, watch this. Absalom. It was David that fathered him. It was David who raised him. It was David that trained him. But yet it was David that Absalom had turned against. The one that trained him, fathered him, grew him up, gave him everything he had. So that gives us an indication here a lot of times when something turns evil. Evil a lot of times is against the very ones that have helped you in life. David raised up Ahithophel. Yeah, okay, when we get to that word, you say it, okay? There you go. Also, when David made of him his chief counselor. Yeah, you forgot it too, didn't you? No. Ahithophel. I've got it now. Thank you. Joined the conspiracy of Absalom. Ahithophel, you got to understand, he was basically, I think, a cripple. I think he was out of the house of Saul. I think I'm right here. David sent for him, grew him up, blessed him, put him at the table. He was a head counselor to David. That's who he was. He was a head counselor to David. And here David, and then he turned on him. Ahithophel was a counselor to David, and David did all this for him. And he did it to honor Saul. But yet, just a little bit, Ahithophel joined Absalom. Now that's when something just went evil, right? You can stumble into sin, but not into evil. Or is premeditated. Now you see that? You can stumble into sin, but not into evil. You think about it. It tends to be premeditated. The dark side of darkness is not after us to sin. They're after our sin turning evil. It doesn't benefit the dark side until we go evil with it. And once we go evil with our sin, you then become an agent of the enemy. That's the reason as Christians, but I know what's in all of, but Alan, they deserve it. Well, I know, and you do too. So we got to back off of the deserve thing. We got to back off what everybody deserves and reserve that for God and the cross of Christ. As you issue grace, so will you be given grace. Here we go. Number six, our sin will draw other bitter people into our conspiracy against someone. You ever notice that? You got to build this army of conspirators. That's what happened to Absalom and Ahithophel. I got her that time. I feel big. Ahithophel. A dairy farmer, 12th grade education. Ahithophel. There you go. Just put that in your smoking pipe. Now, number seven, evil workers will usually do it again. Once you start doing evil, it can be slight or big. The problem is once you start doing evil, evil's easy to do. That's the quicksand. You might not just plumb, sink, and burn on the first evil thing, but you will on the second or third. I can show it to you in Scripture. See, the enemy, the dark side's after bringing you into an evil event. 2 Samuel. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, see there, he was his counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong for the people increased continually with Absalom. That shows you there where he was, his counselor. Now this turns into what we call a crowd of evildoers. If you get a crowd of people together and they're doing evil, you call it in Scripture a crowd of evildoers. I don't want to be in that crowd. Do you? I want to be in the crowd of do-gooders, not evildoers. People don't do evil. Now don't lose me yet. People don't do evil. Evil people do evil. For once you start doing evil, you are an evil person. That's the problem with the first time of evil, of wanting to hurt somebody or to hurt people. Once you start doing evil, it grows on you. You start turning into an evil person. You can't discern right and wrong when you're an evil person. Sinners, repentive, can judge right and wrong, but an evil person can't. That's the reason we look around us in our government and everything. We got evil people judging right and wrong. I'm like, what? But you got to understand an evil. But it's the same for anybody that does evil. The less evil you are in your life, the better discernment you have. Merry Christmas. Now, here we go. Now, I'm just a Christian. I throw a little tree in there. Evil workers usually have never built anything, only torn down the works and buildings of others. That's what it ultimately ends up. You say, well, Alan, why do you say that? Well, if they wouldn't spend so much time trying to tear down everybody else, they could go build something, but they're too busy. Now, we will never live above sin, but we can live above evil. A lot of sinners don't like it when I call them a sinner, but I'm not calling you. The Bible says you're a sinner, and I'm going to show you where it says you're a sinner. But we're sinners saved by grace. And I've heard the argument, but Alan, you shouldn't say that. We're all saved and redeemed. I'm with you. But I got this problem called sin, and I'll do it every now and then. Jesus even talks about it. How to keep sin from turning to evil? And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but do what? Deliver us from evil. And forgive us what? Why would he say that? Because we're sinners. That means we all sin. That's the reason in the Lord's Prayer it says, forgive us our sins. He knows that. But then he goes on to say, we also forgive everyone. In other words, we also forgive others. Well, okay, we're starting to see something here. I'm forgiven. I am a sinner. But yet, we ask for forgiveness according to Jesus. But it says, we also forgive everyone. Forgiveness is the key for giving anointed good upon evil. There's good and there's anointed good. There's good and there's anointed good. When does it go anointed? When you've been done evil as been done against you. When evil has been done against you, you have the opportunity to do good. And when you do, it's anointed of God and it will clobber that evil. Could you feel it? Yes. Could you feel the truth of that statement? There's good and there's anointed good. And anointed good will crush evil. Forgiveness is the key for giving anointed good upon evil. When you're done evil against you, you got to operate in forgiveness. That forgiveness is good. Then you're opened up for anointed goodness. Then you are a prophet speaking into evil, and that prophetic utterance is the goodness of God into whatever the evil is. And it'll crush it. The only thing that will crush evil is the anointed goodness of God. You can have as many prayer meetings as you want. You can tear down as many strongholds as you want to. But until you prophesy goodness into that evil, it will not come down. It says, deliver us from evil. See, you're forgiven of sins, but you got to be delivered from evil. He didn't put those together. That's the reason I say evil and sin's different. Sin's not evil, but all evil's sin. But you got to make a distinction in your life so you know how to deal with events and what's going on. He made me mad. I want to choke him. Sin, if I do it, evil. Right? I'm angry. I'm mad. Sin, I'm going to burn our house down. Evil. So we make those distinctions. Not only that, here comes the evil. I'm going to respond with good. I'm going to forgive them. And I'm going to speak goodness into their life. What does that do? It crushes evil. Heard a person here the other day, and we're talking about, it was a lady who had was standing before church. She'd had an abortion, and she said God had forgiven her of that. She was praising God. She had met God, been forgiven of that. The lady spoke up in the congregation and said, I've been praying you'd lose that baby. That lady turned around, went back to the other lady and grabbed her and hugged her. She said, what's happened to you to cause you to wish that on me? Something bad's happened to you. The lady broke down right there, crying, repented, got right with God, got right with the lady. That was evil coming against her. She responded with good. And that anointed good crushed the evil that was spoken. Church, we got to get it. We got to hurry. There's a lot of evil around us. You got to decide if you truly want to overcome evil. The Bible says you do it with good. I call it anointed good. Deliverance from evil happens when we forgive others. What causes the deliverance from evil? It's when that lady went up to her and grabbed her. I heard her tell it. Went up and grabbed her. Honey, what happened to you that caused you to want to feel that way towards me? Something bad's happened to you in your life, and I'm sorry. There she was pouring her heart out of her worst hurt that she'd ever had in her life. And I'll show you how set free she was. She was so set free, she was so anointed, she set another woman free. That demon messed with the wrong person at the wrong time. That was what you call anointed good. Merry Christmas. Here we see that sin and evil are not the same thing. Sinful people can administer justice from a redeemed position. Evil people, here's where I say it, evil people cannot administer justice without bias. Sinful people can administer justice, but from a redeemed position. Now those two statements right there explains to you your whole political scene that you're seeing now. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth what? Death. When this evil comes at us, the opportunity is to give good. And why is the good the opportunity? Because if that evil continues, there's death at the end of it. The goodness stops the chain reaction of death. Yeah, it overcomes the evil, but it stops this chain reaction of death. If somebody's harmed you and hurt your feelings, you do good to them. If you don't stop the chain reaction of evil, something's going to die. That's the way it works. Sin left alone will turn to evil, which is the conclusion is death. God gives you a period of time to repent before the sin turns evil. I want to give you a little story real quickly. It's in Samuel, and it came to pass as they, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the woman came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet the king Saul with timbrels, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands. Y'all know the story. David is 10,000. And Saul was very mad or wroth and saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000. And to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? Right here is Saul's little moment of time. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. What it meant was Saul here and forward was jealous of David. He had that space of time that he could repent. Okay, you're jealous. Or what? Okay, who cares? Repent so it doesn't turn evil. Saul didn't repent, and Saul was jealous and should have repented for his sin, but he did not repent. So his sin turned to evil, and it says this in 1 Samuel. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it, and David avoided out of his presence twice. Here we see Saul tried to kill David because his sin was jealousy. But it ends up in trying to hurt somebody, which causes it. Saul's actions were evil. God didn't like that. How to keep her sin from turning evil, and I'm about to finish. Says that, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. There's a space of time between a sin and doing evil. I'm going to give you one more little story here, and we're going to close with this. A policeman sees a man searching for something under a streetlight and asks what he has lost. He says he lost his keys and they both look under the streetlight together. After a few minutes, the policeman asks if he is sure he lost them here. And what's this? And the man replies, no, and that he lost them in the park. The policeman asks why he is searching here, and the man replies, this is where the light is. Now, here's my point. To get what I'm saying, you got to look in the dark places of your heart. If you look at your life, I'm a good Christian, I'm doing all this stuff in the light, you'll never get what I'm saying here. What I'm saying here is you got to look in the dark where the stuff is lost. The moral of the story, when looking for the evil in our own lives, it will be found in the dark places of our heart. As Christians, we tend to say, well, I'm looking for all this in the light. I don't see a thing. It looks good. Ask the Lord to shine His light upon all our dark places that we might find the keys to freedom. Amen. Merry Christmas. That's my Christmas message for this year. I hope and pray that you can receive that word. And I was trying to be faithful and to give it. It's kind of a hard word to give, because you got to catch what the Spirit's saying, and you can apply it in so many ways. But I do ask that this church be a church that's known for doing good. We've got Michael now, who was working basically full-time for the church now. One of his main things he's doing is outreach, and he's over another some other ministries, which we'll give you more information on that next week. But he's in the churches, he's in the food kitchens, he's into all of these places. And he's really reverent, because New Life, I wish we just had this reputation, that we had the reputation of the church that's doing good. And if we'll have that reputation of doing good, that means we're conquering a lot of evil. A lot of people think the angel tree, well, ain't nothing to that, or giving here. That's not really fighting evil. That is fighting evil, because that's how we fight evil. We fight it with what? The Bible says, with doing good. Let's stand. It's my prayer that if anybody needs prayer, that you can come up. We've got prayer pods, I guess, Michael. Don't we got prayer pods here and over here? Y'all know the fire drill. We got the prayer benches. If you want baptism, we got Michael over here. There's nothing he enjoys anymore, getting wet. But it's my prayer that you will understand the message of the preaching message today. Because my hope is that this crowd here can be equipped as saints of God with the power of the Spirit of God. Let us as Christians recapture the love of God, the love of Christ, that it will overcome all evil. It's powerful. It's real. So Lord Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us, oh God, where we've missed opportunity of bringing goodness to evil situations. But our prayer, Holy Spirit, my prayer is that you will quicken to our hearts your words, your message, how we can be the message of Christ to a fallen situation. God forbid that we be tools of evil, but that we would be tools of your Holy Spirit, empowered with the goodness of God. And God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.